everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you to the program known as Buckmaster, my last name. Wednesday, June 8th upon us, 2016. Coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. We live stream the program at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. The latter, BuckmasterShow.com, is the place for the podcasts and all of our programs, and that is available 24/7 at our website. You can listen to our programs on your schedule. Our live line number is 790-2040 for your calls and questions. Our lead-off topic will be about education. If you would like to weigh in with Diane Douglas, Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona, we would love to hear from you. We also would welcome you as a friend of our show on Facebook. And in addition, you can follow us on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Coming up at 12:30 today, an update on Arizona's most important resource, that is water. Then at about 12:45, we'll welcome Republican U.S. Senate hopeful Kelly Ward, Dr. Kelly Ward, to the Buckmaster Show. To the state capitol we go, and the superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona, Diane Douglas. Superintendent, how are you today?
I'm fine, Bill. Thanks so much. Glad to be on the radio with you today.
It's good to hear from you again, and this is the first time we've had a chance to talk to you since voters narrowly approved Proposition 123, which would increase and should increase funding for public schools for 10 years. Where are we now in the post-123 era of Arizona education?
Well, we're delighted to see that the voters supported Prop 123, because I'll always support money, more money for our classrooms, for our teachers. I don't think it's any surprise to you that I think the most important thing we do as a state is educate our children so they can have the futures of their dreams and follow their aspirations. So we're glad to see that there'll be more resources for our schools.
How is that money going to be divvied up? I know some Arizona teachers want 123 money to be used to increase teacher pay, but the state's two major teacher associations are still really in disagreement over how that money should be spent. How is it supposed to play out?
Well, my hope would be most certainly that it would go to our classroom teachers, to our classroom expenditures, although my understanding is there was no provision within Prop 123 to mandate that it be done so. And while generally I am a fan of allowing our locally elected school boards to make those decisions, because we know circumstances are different all across the state, and we know that's the decisions that they were elected to make. I have to tell you, one of the things that weighed in for me is my listening tour last year, where as we went across the state, and it doesn't matter how you categorize an area of Arizona, whether it's, urban or rural, whether it's quote-unquote conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat, overwhelmingly what we heard is Arizonans want their teachers paid better.
Mm-hmm.
So hard to argue with that kind of input.
Also the charter schools now, their association saying and contending that charter students have an absolute right to 123 funding. What do you say to those folks?
Well, I'd have to look into all their arguments on it, but the reality is charter schools were set up to play by different rules, so, we have to look and see how do we make the balance between the two and keep it fair and equitable for everybody.
All right, let's go to our live line. Our friend Jim is with us. This is Jim Kelly. He'd like to speak with Superintendent Douglas. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, good afternoon, Bill. Good afternoon, Diane. Your predecessor, John Huppenthal, a few years ago said there was a dire need for an upgrade in the IT or information technology infrastructure of every school district in Arizona. And he projected it would be about $300 million to do that. However, the savings would be found in the on-time, real-time reporting of things like administrative rules and attendance. Do you have any plans to upgrade the infrastructure of the IT technologies of the school districts?
Right now, I can't speak to what individual school districts might do as far as hardware or anything like that, but right now we are in the process of changing, making a transition from the SACE system, which was student enrollment, student accountability, getting funding out to the school districts, and we're moving over to the AZ EDS system, and basically that will streamline the process. It will be much less, I use the term labor intensive for school districts. It should save them a significant amount of resources, and the reporting of their student enrollment and getting the proper funding that schools should become much more accurate, will become much more accurate under this new system.
790-2040, if you would like to bring a question to the table for Diane Douglas, she would be happy to entertain that question. There are a lot of parents of third graders who I assume are on kind of pins and needles waiting for the AZ merit reading results for the third graders who performed, if they were in the bottom 3% of the reading portion of AZ merit, they stand a chance of being actually held back. When will the parents get word on whether or not their kids will be held back a grade?
Well, and this shouldn't, whether or not a student is retained should not be a secret, really, to the parent. The results, I believe, were released either yesterday or today on the AZ Merit to the schools, which is basically the aggregate data, and the schools have an opportunity to review that or appeal that if there's some question or concern about their test results. Reports to the parents should go out in early July, but the reality is, Bill, that schools should have, and we anticipate have been working with those children who are, you know, on the border, on the cusp, and there may be concern about. They should have been working with them all this time to make sure they're being brought up to speed or being given the interventions that they need to become successful. You know, that's not something that happens the second a quote-unquote official test result comes out.
So the parents are probably very aware of what's going on with the kids.
You know, they may not know that it actually falls or doesn't fall into a retention area, but they shouldn't be surprised that there should be have been enough notice up to this point. And quite frankly, our schools can and should be working with students. You know, third grade might be the test that determines that move on portion, but students are evaluated all the time for their reading abilities, and it should start right in kindergarten, and we should start bringing them up to speed as quickly as absolutely possible. When the state board had some discussion of this issue, the department tried to bring to their attention what we believe are other valid measures to make sure that kids aren't inappropriately either passed on or retained, because retention can be a very challenging thing for a child in areas beyond reading, too. So to us, it's important that the whole picture be evaluated.
It is challenging if a kid is retained or held back. And I wonder philosophically, I'd like to get some of your thoughts about the whole issue of retaining a student. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, like many things in education, unfortunately, we try to solve them with one right answer for every student. But as a principal informed me and reminded me at one point when I was on the school board in Peoria that one size fits one, and there is no right answer that fits every single child that we have within a school, within a district, within the state, and certainly not from the federal government mandating what one correct answer may be. There's a lot of things that have to go into that determination. And to me, the most important piece is the parents working collaboratively with the teacher, with the school administration, with the school district to make the best decision for that child. You know, maybe in some cases retention is the right answer, but in other cases it may be moving on with interventions.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. Diane Douglas will stick around. She'll be with us for another segment if you'd like to join us, 790-2040. But right now I want to tell you about one of our fine sponsors, Green Things. They do these wonderful free workshops every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock at Green Things over there on River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. These are free seminars, and everyone's invited to come out, and when you're out there, you will be shocked. They have such a wide variety of everything you need in plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Go to their fine website, greenthingsaz.com. 12:15 on Buckmaster, Midweek Edition, back with Diane Douglas right after this.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster with some exciting news. You could win a $1,000 or a $500 travel voucher to one of 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson International Airport in the Travel Smart with TUS contest. Register for free through Tucson International Airport's Facebook or Twitter pages, or go to the website TravelSmartTUS.com. Good luck. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show as we push on toward 12:20 on a somewhat cooler. I actually could feel some of the humidity in the air, so there might be a little bit of rain around the corner, which is always welcome this time of year. Let's go back to the live line. State School Superintendent of Public Instruction Diane Douglas is with us. One of the measures that came out of the legislature and that the governor signed is a law that now clarifies this your role and that of the State Board of Education. Is that dust up? Has it been settled, Superintendent Douglas?
The legislation cleaned up the issues. The result of it is that the four employees that report to the board and help facilitate board meetings report to the board. I'm not sure exactly in practical terms how a board that meets once a month for 2 or 3 hours supervises employees. But the most important part to me was, as we looked at that issue, there were 7 investigators that basically investigate bad actor teachers that are doing things either unprofessionally and, sadly, in some cases, immoral. And we had found that under the State Board of Education, reporting on those and bringing those issues to the board was lagging very, very, very far behind. And by statute, they are. The Department of Education does investigations. So we've got that issue resolved that as of July 1st, the investigators will be moving back to the Department of Education, and we will make sure that children are kept safe in their classrooms.
Arizona has joined Texas in a lawsuit to stop federal overreach. This has to do with the whole gender identity issue and boys and girls bathrooms. Is the state risking federal being cut off from federal funding by pushing this, Superintendent?
Well, that is what the announcement from the federal government has said, the guidance that they've given us. And I will tell you, that is just unconscionable that they would put at risk. Actually, it's not their money. It's not federal funds. It's our money that we give to the federal government that they so kindly dole back to us, and that they would even threaten the money that helps the most vulnerable children in our state is unconscionable to me. So they're pounding their chest and saying they're going to threaten that money, and the lawsuit is all about at least 10 other states saying, no, we don't think so. We know that education is a states' rights issue. We know what's best for our children. Our local school boards here in Arizona know how to resolve their issues, and we don't need this micromanagement from the federal government, and we certainly don't need this micromanagement, once again, threatening the most vulnerable children we have in this state.
All right, let's go back to the live line. Caller Matthew would like to speak with Superintendent Douglas. Go ahead, Matthew.
Superintendent Douglas, I don't know if you have the answer, but this weekend I spent listening to people discuss whether or not there's a confusion as to the AZ merit, whether or not the individual school board schools are going to basically hold them back or not. Students. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's part of the Move On When Reading program. It's basically a piece of legislation that said if a student is severely under their reading level at the end of third grade based on this one-time test, that they could be withheld or held back in their class.
And the confusion is that we're no longer using that test. So will the the school boards be required, or the superintendents be required, to notify these students that they are on the hook because they're still waiting the results for the test, I guess? Or, and
well,
I'll just let you speak to it. Thank you.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Thank you, Matthew. We are still using the AZ Merit test. That is the new test for Arizona. It's the AIMS test that replaced, and there was some issue about that. It was addressed by the state board maybe a month or 2 months ago at the board meeting. Once again, it is basically that test and the students' results on that test that are the determiner, but we would hope that that the districts and the teachers and administration have been working with these parents long in advance of these tests and what the results may be. The test results were released to the districts recently. The actual scores, student scores, will be released to the parents in July, but certainly schools have the ability to be speaking with individual parents already and should have been. So that's what we anticipate will happen, that there's been a lot of communication prior to the release of these test scores.
All right, getting back to the teaching situation, there are teaching vacancies, nearly 400 vacancies right now in southern Arizona for teachers. Is that an issue that is peculiar to our area, or are you finding that throughout the state?
Well, it is definitely throughout the state. We've heard it. I don't think it's just throughout the state. I think in some places it's throughout the nation. We have at the department, we have what's called the Teacher Recruitment and Retention Task Force. We have issued several white papers on where we're bringing experts in the field in to help deal with those issues and say, what are the best things we can do? We know teacher salaries is a piece of that they can go to other fields and make more money than they do. But a lot of people don't teach just for the money that's in it or lack thereof. You know, that's where their passion is. That's where their heart is for the children. So you know, we've heard of other issues, whether it be disciplinary issues, support from administration, support and appreciation from the citizens and the parents. There's a lot of issues that go on. As a matter of fact, that was part of my Arizona Kids Can't Afford to Wait plan is, you know, how do we look at all those issues? I don't appropriate money, so I can't give the districts more money to pay for our teachers. I wish I could. But we can look at a lot of other ways that we can make sure they understand how important the education of these children are and how crucial they are to the success of children in our state.
Prop 123 kind of dominated the legislative talk during the session. Did this session seem to be more pro-education, in your opinion?
Well, I think Prop 123, there are some other additional monies for education in this session. I think you hit the nail on the head, Bill. Prop 123 kind of dominated the discussion, and everybody, at least from my perspective, seemed to be on a wait and let's see what happens with Prop 123. I mean, the reality is the funding with Prop 123 isn't going to move the needle that much as far as Arizona's placement in dollars in education, but there's a lot of other ways also to measure the quality of a good education too. So we have to make sure, in my opinion, that we take a look at the total picture.
How do we get some retired people who may have wonderful expertise into the classroom and would like to go back and teach? Are they welcome in Arizona schools?
There were some changes to the certification system. One thing that was kind of interesting to me is when we talk about JTEDs and CTE teachers,
mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, and I always allow that I could be mistaken, I believe we actually made it, or the legislature made it, a little bit more challenging for those people to get into the classroom than it previously was. So, you know, we want to make sure that all our students have high-quality teachers, that teachers who are expert in their content knowledge. We've made it easier through legislation for teachers who move from out of state to get into our classroom, but unfortunately we're holding them to a different standard than we do our own homegrown teachers. And I'm not sure that that serves us well in the long run, but as all things, we'll see how it plays out in time.
Well, you've been on the job a year and a half. How do you like the job?
I am so blessed to be doing this job, and I'm so humbly and deeply appreciative to the citizens of Arizona for allowing me to do this. I believe to the depth of my being, I said it before, I'll say it again, there's nothing more important than the education of our children so that they can grow up to fulfill their dreams and their aspirations and they can become great American citizens. You know, we talk about China, India, all these other countries and their education systems, but the big difference between theirs and ours is through our system, children can become whatever they want and follow their dreams. That decision isn't made for them by some bureaucrat somewhere, as happens in many of these other countries. And I pray that's something we never, ever lose about our education system.
That is a very good point. In other countries, it can be just one test score that changes your whole fate, can it?
Yep, and can tell you can never go back.
That's it. That's it. Diane Douglas, thank you very much for spending a portion of your lunch hour with us. I appreciate it very much.
I'm glad to do that, and I want to congratulate you, Bill. I hear you're soon to be a two-time Hall of Famer.
Two-time Hall of Famer. I have been very blessed to be at certainly the right place at the right time, and had a wonderful career that continues on, and I really appreciate the greeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you for allowing me, and I look forward to speaking again.
Thanks a lot. Diane Douglas, Superintendent of Public Instruction, with us on the Arizona Buckmaster Show. And we have water talk coming up, very important. I call it Arizona's most important resource. I think it is. Without it, where would we be? We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garber. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for a newsmaker interview with Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias, plus Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show education contributor. Buckmaster Live, noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, with live streaming, podcasts, and our complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:35 on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, KVOI AM 1030, where we're also live streaming worldwide. You can listen to this program anywhere at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. I said before the break that I believe Arizona's most important resource is water. My guest, I think, would probably agree with me on that.
Absolutely.
Karen Caesar is here, a member of the governing board of the Central Arizona Arizona Water Conservation District. Karen, good to see you.
Hey, nice to see you, Bill.
Well, certainly water has been in the news and CAP allocations, but Lake Mead is kind of really the main piece in all of this, and it has hit historic lows. So what's causing that water shortage?
Well, as we know, that when Lake Mead hits an elevation of 1075 on January 1st, that would be the trigger point to declare a shortage on the river and in Lake Mead. Right now, we don't know that we're going to hit that shortage, but what's causing this is basically the river and the lake are over-allocated. In other words, the structural deficit means that more water is flowing out of the lake than is flowing in. We've also been in a 16-year-long drought. So combination of drought and the structural deficit is causing the lake levels to drop. But we don't think we're going to hit a shortage in 2017 because right now they're planning to release water from Lake Powell into Lake Mead. I always do a little geography lesson, right? Because I need to be reminded. Lake Powell is upstream, you know, upstream mm-hmm. of the Grand Canyon or east of the Grand Canyon. Lake Mead is downstream or west of the Grand Canyon. So water flows from Lake Powell into Lake Mead. And those planned releases that are going to be larger than normal are going to help prop up those lake levels to hopefully keep us out of shortage next year.
And again, the geography is important for folks. One nice way to think about it is when you're flying into Las Vegas, you're going to fly right over Lake Mead.
Exactly.
So that's what that Lake Mead is, right outside of Las Vegas there at Boulder City.
Yeah, and if you're lucky enough to be on that side of the plane, it's a beautiful view, but yes, you can really see what they call the white bathtub ring.
So what will that extra water do to Lake Mead?
Well, what we're anticipating is 750,000 acre feet more than what normally is going to flow into Lake Mead. And that should raise the lake levels by about 10 feet over what they would have been in the normal release. And so most of us expect that that extra release is going to be enough to keep those levels above 1075, which would trigger a shortage for 2017. You know, I got to say, we're really going on a year-by-year basis. If you remember last year, we had the miracle in May that saved us.
So nice to get that May rain.
Right. We did not have that benefit in the Rockies so much this year. You know, so we do have a low probability of the shortage next year. But I also got to remind everybody that in addition to these extra releases, is Arizona, Nevada, and other states have also been voluntarily leaving more water in Lake Mead to prop up those lake levels as well. So, you know, there's a lot of different fronts that are being worked on to forestall a shortage.
You know, we've been hearing about this agreement with California to reduce our use of the Colorado. What is that all about, Karen?
Well, I got to say, this is big and this is new. You know, first a little background. We talked about, you know, we've been in the 16-year drought. We know we're dealing with a structural deficit, which is also, I always say, one of the many water-related terms. We have a lot of water lingo, structural deficit being one of them. But because those lake levels have been dropping further and faster than what we anticipated back in 2007 when the states got together and said, oh, what are we going to do if there's a shortage? In 2007, states got together, made an agreement to set some shortage sharing guidelines. But they weren't enough. And we now know with between the drought and the structural deficit, that more has to be done to protect Lake Mead. So what we're hearing about now is a new proposal that's being discussed called the Drought Contingency Proposal. And that calls on all the players to reduce their use of Colorado River water if the lake continues to fall.
So how is this plan, this new proposal, different than what was accepted in 2007?
Well, there's two big differences. First is under this agreement, Arizona's share of the Colorado River is going to be reduced more quickly and earlier than in 2007, which means, of course, that's going to show up in all of our water providers, you know, bills and plans, and
right on down to our local level.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. So we're gonna you know, I guess the metaphor is Arizona is going to take a heavy dose of medicine early on to prevent getting really sick and needing a trip to the hospital later. It's a tough mm-hmm. nut to, you know, to crack, but we're going to do it now and on our own terms, rather than being dictated to top down from the federal government. The other thing that's really important is California is going to participate in these the drought contingency
proposal.
They're
a huge player.
They're a huge player, and they have senior water rights on the river, so they don't have to take any shortage. In 2007. They didn't take any shortage, but they have now realized with the potential of Lake Mead to fall to levels where even their share is threatened, they're coming to the table and negotiating and agreeing to take shortage earlier than planned. So the way I've been describing it to people is the lower basin states are, they realize if they don't get together and solve this problem themselves, the federal government's going to come in top down and dictate. And I think everybody can appreciate that, you know, we'd like to be more self-directed and voluntary than being told what we have to do.
Well, I think it's huge that California has made that agreement to get on board.
Oh, it is. It's phenomenal, and it really speaks to the regional cooperation. And I got to tell you, the CAP, the Central Arizona Water Conservation District, and our staff are huge players, as are other Arizona water, you know, the water policy people, you know, the Department of Water Resources. We're huge leaders in the region, making people aware of the need to cooperate early and often.
So the deal, if it is done, and we're all hoping it is, our legislature would still have to sign off on that, right?
Correct. There's a lot of work. This is a new proposal. In addition to the CAP, there are on-river users of Colorado River. There's farmers. There's a lot of people that will be impacted, again, earlier and more drastically than before. So there's a lot of work going on right now to meet with all those stakeholders, all those user groups, and share with them what, you know, what this means and how their, you know, basically their sacrifices now are going to help themselves and the whole state and the region in the long run.
And our informed citizens need to be very much aware of what's going on, because again, it is that very important resource, and everybody needs to stay aware of what's going on.
Right, and I always say anybody that drinks water needs to be paying attention to this
issue.
Takes a shower, or
uses a swimming pool.
You name it. I always like to talk about two. Tucson, because Tucson as a community is really a leader in water conservation and responsible water use. And so, you know, we ask all of our citizens, and that's statewide, to stay informed and understand that, particularly, and recognize that this drought contingency proposal is new, is the next, you know, the next big thing, the next step, and we're taking those steps now proactively. So Tucson's already do a tremendous job of being efficient, as I said, but we're gonna have to do more. The region's gonna have to do more. So there's gonna be new programs that need to stretch and augment our water supplies, and the reality is this is all gonna cost more, particularly if you reduce the deliveries of water. You know, CAP is a wholesaler of water.
Right.
We reduce our deliveries to our customers. We still have our same operations and maintenance costs. Overhead costs are the same. The canal still has to run. The pumps still have to run. So the costs of all those are fixed costs, and they will now be borne by a smaller group of customers, mm-hmm. which, you know, just by the simple math, requires that those rates to go up. So it's not anything anybody likes to talk about, but it is reality. And so we just ask everybody to, you know, stay informed and do their part. And I also want to tell you that there's a lot of places to get information about this.
Okay, where can we get in more?
Oh, absolutely. Well, our website, cap-az.com, mm-hmm. has all this information. And also on there, you can find a link to our board meetings now.
Good.
Since we last met, mm-hmm. we have now implemented live streaming of our board meetings.
Very good.
Which you can navigate to through the website. And, you know, they're sometimes very long and they're very, you know, technical, but you can pop in on your computer and at least see the board working or listen to an issue that you're interested in. So I, you know, invite everybody to check out our live streaming of our board meetings. We have one tomorrow, in fact, on a non-traditional day. Usually we're the first Thursday, but because of the holiday, tomorrow we're going to be meeting. So tomorrow, or you can go to, so that's one source, or the Arizona Department of Water Resources, azwater.gov.
Or you can just Google CAP Central Arizona Project, and it will get you there.
Absolutely. It's all easy to find.
Well, good news, I think, overall. Karen Caesar, very much appreciate you coming in. Always a pleasure to see you.
Always a pleasure to be here, Bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. 12:46 on Buckmaster. State Senator Kelly Ward will join us next. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad
is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. To the Buckmaster Show. When it gets over 100 degrees, I like to think about Silver City, where that mile-high elevation makes it so nice, especially the nights. When you get up to about 7,000 feet just outside Silver City in the cute little community of Pinos Altos, cute and historic. It's only 3 hours from Tucson over to Silver City. Places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge, great places to stay, all listed on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. So maybe it's time for a road trip to that beautiful southwestern part of the United States, southwestern corner of New Mexico. Let's go back to the live line now. Dr. Kelly Ward with us, former state senator from Lake Havasu City, challenging Senator John McCain in the upcoming Republican primary. Dr. Ward, how are you?
Hey, I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me. Hey, that road trip sounds good, but I'm going to be on road trip all around Arizona for the rest of this summer up until at least August 30th, but probably through November is my plan. And so I'll be seeking some of that solace and coolness inside our great state.
Are you going to be in that very cool, not only cool, air-conditioned, I'm sure, inside, but the very cool van that you have? I guess it's like a travel trailer. It's bigger than a van.
Yeah, it's an RV. It's a 1989 Holiday Rambler, so it is not a luxury mobile, but I am happy that it has somewhat reliable air conditioning. I had one for one of my previous elections, and it did not have any air conditioning in the front. It was a 1987 Pace Arrow, so I've upgraded a tiny bit to 1989.
Hey, how would you characterize the campaign right now? Some of the polling shows this is getting pretty close.
You know what? It is fun. It's frustrating. It's exhilarating. It's exhausting. But you're exactly right. Senator McCain and I are tied up in a head-to-head matchup, 41-41. And I'm sure people down in Tucson have seen it because people all around the state have seen it. Senator McCain is worried. He is attacking me. His super PAC, the so-called Arizona Grassroots Action PAC, is sending out lie after lie after lie to try to bring me down. But you know what? They've spent over $1 million attacking me, and I am still standing and standing strong, strong to win in August.
And they're kind of trying to paint you as like a conspiracy theorist or a conspiracy wacko.
You know, I think it's so funny. They put out an ad, radio, I know, TV, I know, and I think a mailer as well, that has me with Raul Grijalva and Bernie Sanders. Now, I will tell you, there's only one guy in this race who's ever voted with Bernie Sanders, and that would be John McCain. And I certainly have never met any of them. I mean, I've met McCain, but I haven't met the other two. Why would I? He's the guy that has the connections with them, so it's kind of hilarious, really.
How about the Donald Trump factor in all of this?
Yeah, I think that Senator McCain is very worried about Donald Trump because as a down-ballot Republican, he is probably the most vulnerable in the entire country because people who identify with Mr. Trump and his policies and his conservatism and his straight talk do not identify with John McCain and his caving in to liberal policies and voting for tax hikes and bailouts and amnesty and liberal judges and all the things that he's done. And so me as a Republican, and I hope a lot of people in your audience as Republicans, have to think, who do we want down ballot from Donald Trump so that we keep that seat in November? I will tell you, Kelly Ward down ballot from Donald Trump is a winning combination. Not so sure we'll keep the seat if Senator McCain is the guy that's there.
Are you endorsing Trump?
You know, I'm for Trump. I think he's going to be, well, he's our nominee. We need to get behind him. We have to unite behind him. And then the people who go to Congress and to the Senate need to help him to accomplish the things that he's talking about that are resonating with the public. Building the wall, no amnesty, supporting our military, making sure that law enforcement is supported, making sure that we bring back amazing jobs and stimulate our economy so that everyone is able to prosper, not just the very top. Everyone's able to prosper because our economy starts to thrive again. I look forward to helping to make sure that happens.
You know, in your touring around the state of Arizona, is there one particular issue that jumps off the page?
You know, people are still very, very upset about border security because they know that border security is national security. We talk a lot about, you know, stopping ISIS and stopping terrorism and those things. If we do not secure our border at home, we cannot be safe as American citizens. And so at first, it's at the top of their mind. Other things, too, you know, repealing Obamacare is still right up there. Fixing the VA. Fixing the VA is a huge, huge issue. And John McCain, you know, this happened on his watch, the watch of the most well-known veteran in the country, not just in Arizona, really probably almost in the world. And it's unacceptable to write a few letters and to hold a couple of town halls and maybe hold a hearing or two, but not actually do anything to fix the situation at the VA. And then, of course, jobs in the economy, fixing the tax structure, making sure that we are making America great again, those kind of things. The other thing that I think is interesting is that people are so interested in term limits. And I think at every single event that I have had, it's been a question as to whether I support term limits or not. And I will tell you I do, and I will term limit myself to no more than 2 terms. I think 12 years in Washington, D.C. is more than enough time for anyone. And one of the reasons our country is so stagnant right now is people have just overstayed their welcome, and they need to pass the torch to the next generation.
So people are very concerned, I guess, about what becomes just too many long-timers in the Capitol. Is that what you're hearing?
Definitely. They are so frustrated with the people who refuse to get out, who have stacked the deck against people, good people like me, who are trying to run to make a difference in the country, who are willing to do and say anything to be able to stay in Washington and keep the government largesse coming to them and to the people that they've deemed worthy of receiving that largesse. And so people are coming to KellyWard.com, Kelly with an I. I will be a conservative champion for Arizona in Washington, D.C., and they are looking for a competent, capable, qualified person who can take the reins and hit the ground running in Washington, and that's what they're finding with me.
You know, I'm concerned about physicians who are saying they've had it with the system and they're leaving the system. They're just saying it's not worth it to them. It's just too much paperwork, bureaucracy that's coming down.
Well, it's very sad because being a physician is such a noble profession. I love my job. I love taking care of patients. I love solving complicated problems and distilling them down into manageable pieces so that we get good outcomes in terms of health. And I hate to see doctors being forced out because of extreme government intervention that's unnecessary. We need to build back up that doctor-patient relationship so that trust exists and people are able to be healthy. That's how I legislate as well. You know, I kind of legislate the way that I practice medicine, which is first do no harm and keep things in a manageable perspective so that we get good outcomes.
All right. Any appearances that you would like to promote while we have you here, Kelly Ward?
Oh, my gosh. I'm all over the state.
Okay.
You can find out at kellyward.com/events. People can go there. You can see when I'm going to be 10 miles away, 25 miles away, 50 miles away, and come out and join us.
All right. Dr. Ward, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thanks, Bill. It's great to see you. Talk
okay.
to you.
Kelly All Ward right. with us on the Buckmaster Show. We have a lot of local talk here. We're very proud of that here at KVOI. We do 5 hours of local talk, of course, midday with me, Bill Buckmaster. Then we have Mike Shaw. Mike looks great. He's lost a lot of weight. Posted a picture on Facebook and didn't recognize him. He's really lost a lot of weight. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen get together for the Mike Shaw Show at 4 o'clock. And then we do 3 hours in the morning from 6 to 9 of local talk. We begin with Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, and then the Daily Double from 8 to 9. Christy Simone and a different guest host every day. And then it's me, Bill Buckmaster, up to the plate at 12:04 for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we talk about what's been going on with the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Actually, a lot concerning property taxes. We'll talk to Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias about that. We'll also talk about this diabetes epidemic in this country. And then Dr. Robert Hendricks, our Buckmaster Show contributor on education, will have some interesting things to say as well. Till then, Bill Buckmaster wishing you a good afternoon and evening.